Tonight's scripture reading, excuse me, is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends.
We continue our study tonight of measuring what matters in a world that is information overloaded. There's not enough help given to measuring what matters. And the people of God, the church, ought to lead the way here. This morning we looked at six areas of great importance that we need to be concerned about accurately measuring, so we can praise and honor our God. Tonight we'll look at six more. I'd like for us to consider the most important work outlook. Most of us will invest a great deal of time in our jobs over the years. The most important work outlook is found in Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. The passage says, whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that you will receive the inheritance from the Lord God. Work heartily as to the Lord, not men. The principle then is quite simple. Whatever your job may be in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ is your real boss. He's your real master. And that's such an important point to think about. Work is not a four-letter word. It is, but it isn't. Work existed in the garden well before sin did. We need to think about that because a Christian may well shine the brightest for Jesus. Outside of the home, at work. Think about that. As basic a need in our lives as food and rest are, is this matter called work. Look in your Bibles at Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, and it's a very familiar passage. But at if there's a special application that ought to be made, I think it should be made here to one's work. When Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world, what I'd like for you to see in looking at Matthew 5, 13 through 16, first of all, is you is emphatic. You are the salt of the earth. You, emphatically, you are to be the light of the world. Jesus is not commissioning His people to be something that He's not. Because both salt and light make their presence felt, and no one ever made their presence felt like Jesus. Salt, He ever lived a life of purity and godliness and integrity. He ever lived such a life. And when He asks us to be salt, He wants us to live lives of purity, godliness, and integrity, living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. But He goes on to say that you are the light of the world. If there's any place that's often dark, it can be the workplace. Isn't that true? And Christians are not to be chandeliers, fancy chandeliers. Christians are to be a light bulb that's on in a dark hall when somebody is needing to go to the restroom and cannot make it without thinking they're going to break their neck because it's so dark. Maybe that's how the workplace really is. But children of God are to be a light. It is amazing how a little light can brighten up a mighty dark room. Isn't that the truth? When I think of a lot of great Bible characters, it's never recorded that they started a Bible study with somebody. When I think of Daniel, for example, it's not recorded that Daniel opened up the Bible and was able to teach someone in Nebuchadnezzar's court. But everybody in the court knew what kind of man Daniel was. They all knew that he was salt and light. They knew he took seriously his relationship with his God. And his life had an impact on not just one kingdom, but on three or four as you think of the kingdom of God. Our lives may do that too. Maybe there won't be the Bible studies we would like to have with people, but maybe the nature of your life as salt and light will make them speak well of you and maybe ask you some questions over time. Secondly, the most important community or the most important support. I've got to tell you, I'm talking about the local church. We're to stir one another up to love and good works, Hebrews 10 and verse 24. We are a family made possible by God Himself. 1 Timothy 3:15, the household of God. That's the church. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. I've never been able to understand how people make it without this most important community and support group. A group of people that will laugh when we laugh and rejoice when we rejoice and cry when we weep. Romans 12 and verse 15. A group of people that seeks to reflect Christ, much like the water is reflecting the scenery in this picture. The local church is a beautiful entity, and what a blessing and privilege it is to be part of a community of believers that is our support group. Really, it is. There is a people to encourage us. There are principles in the community of faith, the church, by which we live, the truth of the gospel. There is a profession that is able to be lived out because we are people of like precious faith, as Peter terms that. We have so much in common. The local church truly is blood kin. Blood bought we are. Brothers and sisters we are. And the place of the local church is a place of support and encouragement and community. The church is the saved. The church is the body of Christ. The church, citizens of the kingdom of God. Is that how you view the church? Is that how you view the church? I hope so. And is this how you view your work outlook? That God is my real master and boss, and I will do what I do at the workplace because I seek to honor Him and please Him. These are things that will be discussed, matters that will be discussed in the new class that our shepherds have asked us all to study as adults together beginning next quarter, next week. The most important tell. My sweet mother is here tonight. My mother, you can read her face from a mile away. If it's something that she really loves, she brightens up and there is a smile on her face and a twinkle in her eyes. And if it's something that she doesn't particularly care for, it may be like this. You know, a lot of us have a tell. Some people are kind of aloof. Some people don't give away their tell very easily. Other people do. But all of us has a tell. The most important tell are your words. In Ephesians 4 and verse 29, the Word of God says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but such as is useful to edification, that it might minister grace to the hearers." There's a lot to think about in that passage. Our most important tell is our words. Yes, our faces communicate a lot. Nonverbal communication can be powerful, but our words, the most important tell. And Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 through 36. "By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." You and I will give an account to God for every idle, thoughtless word. Therefore, it's of the utmost importance for us as sons and daughters of God to speak in a way that honors God. The most important daily habit. The most important daily habit. And this has been something that has been a great concern of mine, especially for the church, for some time now. The most important daily habit is time with God. I was reading about a person and their time, and regardless of how talented you might be and how efficient and productive you might be, most of us have a 4 to 6 hour window when we are at our very best. Most of us have a 4 to 6 hour window when we're at our very best. You might call it our green zone. Then we will have 6 to 10 hours that, yes, we can function and do pretty well, but it's not our optimal way of doing things. We're not at our very best, our most alert, our sharpest, our best. But we can still function. We can visit with people. We can drive down the road, take care of things, Steve, and do our jobs in a lot of ways. But there is a period in all of our lives that would be the red zone time when don't make a major decision at this time of your day. Be careful what you say, extra careful, and how your actions might be perceived because you're really far from your best. You're functioning, but not even at a yellow rate, it's much less a green. Think about that. It seems to me that a lot of people, if they give God time, give Him their yellow or red time rather than their green. And if I can encourage you to give God part of your day when you are at your very best, please listen to what I'm saying. For many of us, and I realize it's not everybody, that's in the morning after we've kind of started to stir. Personally, I see that I'm best from around 4:30 in the morning to 8:30 or so, and then maybe another time for an hour or so during the day. But I want to give God time when I am at my best, personally. I would like for you to think about that and see what you can do. This is not to guilt trip anyone. But a lot of people have a difficult time with daily time with God because of method issues. I call them method issues. And we make it harder for us because we're trying to come to God in our yellow zone or red zone rather than when we're at our best, first of all. And I would rather people give God 15 minutes of their best time than half an hour of the red zone. Do you understand? And I think God would rather us do that too. In looking at this, one of the things I've discovered is many people read, but they read too long and remember nothing that they just read. You ever done that? You ever read a chapter or two chapters, and please don't say you hadn't because you wouldn't be completely honest. You might read an entire book, and then you have to ask yourself, what in the world did I just read? I would suggest that you read a shorter section and that you meditate on what you read. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He does meditate day and night. Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. I would say less read, more absorbed and meditated upon is better than reading a lot and forgetting virtually all that you have read. Wouldn't you? And meditation is thought absorption. It is chewing on what we have been taking in from God's Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, Colossians 3 and verse 16. It's such an important daily habit. Read, meditate, read for hearing what God says, meditate for absorbing what God says. Now that brings me to another helpful concept. Pray what you have been meditating on and reading back to God. Pray it back to God. I wonder how well you read and how well you absorb if you cannot pray it practically back to God. Doesn't this make sense? Many of us have method issues. I received a phone call from an elder in the church, from a neighboring congregation, a really godly man, and he had a younger Christian come to him and say, I am really struggling having time with God on a regular basis. And he's an intelligent person. He's a businessman. And this shepherd is very concerned, and he said, Mike, what can I say to him to encourage him in his daily walk with God? Because he just said, I'm really getting nothing out of this time. And that's why I'm sharing some of this with you. Maybe that brother's not alone. He's a very talented guy. I know him. He's a young guy with a family and a business and is doing a lot of good things. But he's struggling with daily time with God. Read, meditate, pray, praise. In your daily time with God, it makes a lot of sense to praise God. Every passage has something to praise God for. And you will be blessed when you look for that. The best kind of study, the best preaching, the best kind of Bible class, the best kind of getting into the Word, the deepest study ought to always lead to the praise of God. And if it doesn't, something's wrong with the way we've been studying. It's just a fact. A lot of our Bible study needs to have more soap, S-O-A-P. More Scripture, more observation of what Scripture has said, a desire to apply it, and a desire to praise God. The word that I have spoken makes you clean, Jesus said. John 15, verse 3. It's the most important daily habit. One of the things that I appreciate about Cherie, and this has gone on for years, is when she gets up, I know where she's going. There's a chair in our house that my wife goes to. She will stagger, making her way to the coffee pot. She'll get that cup of coffee, and she has coffee with God every morning, bright and early. I don't know when your time is, but daily time with God will bless you in the pursuit of godliness. The most important challenge, number five, the most important challenge that each of us will face every day is temptation. Temptation. Satan baits his hook according to the appetite of the fish. And he's been at it for a while, hasn't he? He knows what people tend to like. And he will use what is alluring to tempt you. It's interesting to notice 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Temptation is common, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. But God is faithful. And God will not allow you, third, to be tempted above what you are able to bear. What a magnificent promise. Temptation's common, but God is faithful, and God will not allow one to be tempted above what we are able to bear. He knows people's maximum capacity, and He will say, no, you can't go any farther. Aren't you glad we have a God that powerful? And the devil can't go farther than the Lord will let him. And then it says, With every temptation, He will provide the way of escape. With every temptation, He provides a way of escape. Honestly, when I fall to temptation, it's because I did not look for the way of escape. God provides. I chose not to follow that or pursue it. And you are able to overcome and conquer because of the things that God promises in this passage. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, James chapter 1 and verse 12. Sometimes we have to face temptation. We can't flee from it, can't get away from it. Don't necessarily know if we can find the escape route. The way is to endure it steadfastly. The most important challenge we will face will be temptation. And the devil's been using the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life for an awful long time, and he knows how to bait the hook, doesn't he? That's what makes temptation, temptation. But I want to say this. It is not sinful for us to be tempted. Jesus was tempted in every point like as we. Hebrews 2, 17 and 18, Hebrews 4, 15. So when you are experiencing the heat of temptation and you're getting down on yourself, remember Jesus experienced temptation. He didn't sin. We don't have to sin. Remember God's promises. The devil's going to make that bait look very appealing. And number six, as we think about our upcoming class on godliness and reflecting Jesus in the big areas of our lives, you know what? If we would just really reflect Jesus and godliness in the areas of life we've been studying about today, our lives would be richer. We'd be so blessed, and our families would be as well. The most important progress is spiritual growth and maturity. In Philippians 1, verse 27, Paul would write to the Philippians, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel." Now think about that. What you say, what you do, what you refuse to say, what you refuse to do, your thoughts, every aspect of your life, be worthy, correspond to the weight and value and preciousness of the gospel. That whether I come to see you or be absent, I hear of your state, you stand fast with one spirit, with one soul, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Sometimes churches are really good at striving and fussing and fuming and nitpicking. But striving together for the faith of the gospel, that's the most important progress. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. It's a magnificent section on being good servants. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. But verses 15 and 16 speaks of how our progress will become evident to all. Let your progress be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to your doctrine, for by so doing you will not only save yourself, but those who hear you. Now that's progress. That's progress. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord, 2 Corinthians 10:17. For it's not the one that approves himself that the Lord commends, but the one that the Lord approves, who's truly commended. And more than anything, we should want our God and Savior to say of us, you have made such progress in your walk with me. You've grown so much. Well done. I could care less what some people think, but I'll guarantee you this, the older I get, the more I want to make sure that I'm pleasing my Lord. And I hope you feel that way too. It's what He is saying that matters. It's going to be a great opportunity for every adult in this church, every man and every woman. Be thinking about it, be praying about it, and do your best to attend class every week. Because one day what's going to matter the most is how much we really reflect Jesus. And the class will help us to measure what matters the most.